just go ahead and entertain God's presence for just a few moments. Thank you, Jesus. I worship you, Savior. I exalt your holy name, O Lord. Glory be to thy name. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Well, it is good to be back home. And it's been quite a while since I've been able to make a missions trip. It's been about right at, well, it has been 2 years, I think. And so I was very, very happy to be able to go down to Mexico. And I ministered at two different missionaries' work, Brother and Sister Vaughn, and then also with Brother Bias. And God was very gracious, very kind. I do not say this boastingly. It's to give glory to God, but we saw in excess of 30 people receive the Holy Ghost, 5 baptized. And praise God. The main reason for the trip was for me to dedicate a building for Brother Bias, a headquarters building that they're working on purchasing. And so the formal dedication was on Sunday, and I began to minister. And we were never able to have a formal dedication because too many people kept interrupting getting the Holy Ghost. There was 10 or 12 in that one service, and probably more than that. I got, when I asked for those that wanted the Holy Ghost to come to the front, there was just a wave of people, of 60 or 70 people, that whoop, just like that. And they were packed together so tight that there was no way to navigate your way through the press. But, you know, and of course, I don't speak and understand Spanish. And I understand enough of the language, the sound of the language. I could recognize it, except it was so noisy with so many people praying. So I know several received the Holy Ghost, but that I prayed for. But I'm not where I wasn't where I could judge it and say this one got it or that one got it. That's for God to judge in them. But anyway, just tremendous, tremendous things happen, and God is moving in Mexico. Amen. And the people were very sweet and kind, and enjoyed being with them, making new friends. And good things are happening. Praise God. Your money that you're sending to Brother Vaughn and to Brother Baez is not being wasted. I can tell you that for sure. Amen. Both of them are great hosts. Brother Sewell joined up with me in Atlanta, and we flew down together from there. And he was a great blessing, and also was ministering, and good things are happening. We split up there for a couple of days, and he stayed there with Brother Vaughn, and I went on down to be with Brother Baez in Mexico City. Have you ever been to Mexico City? If you have, raise your hand. I'm telling you, I see about 4 or 5 people, maybe 6, across the congregation. It might be 8. Raise your hand. But what a, my goodness, you talk about people that need God. Millions and millions of them packed together very tightly, and yet it covers many, many miles. You can see it from the air, you can see it from the mountains, you can see it from various observation points. And my, there could be 150 churches there in Mexico City, and they wouldn't need to fuss over anybody. Plenty to be done. Well, Jesus is coming. Amen. And I want to be ready. And I want to do more than just get to heaven. I want to have a relationship with Jesus. Amen. With God, it's always been about relationship. Amen. He created Adam because he wanted to have some fellowship, relationship. And then, of course, he recognized later that man also needed fellowship, connection, so forth. And that's when he created Eve, presented her to Adam, and they became a married couple. And so this is very, very important aspect of the work of God. So much of the time it seems like we might get a little bit out of balance and talk too much about, maybe not too much, but not enough about some other things that are very, very important. And I'll tell you what, a real relationship with Jesus takes care of a whole lot of other issues. Amen. Because when you're a real close friend of his, he'll whisper some things in your ear. And because you love him, you'll respond appropriately. Amen. I'm going to go a different route than I normally do, but I'm going to do a verse by verse exposition somewhat from the 91st Psalm, and beginning in verse number 1, Psalm 91, verse number 1. I saw a young man slip in, and I didn't get a chance to speak to you, sir, but we're really happy to have you tonight. Amen. Hope to get to speak to you before you leave tonight. Amen. The book of Psalms, chapter 91, verse number 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Listen carefully to what that's saying. The secret place of the Most High. You can dwell there. And when you're there, you're dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Is that encouraging tonight? Yes, amen. How many of you are sick and tired of plagues and pandemics and on and on and on? Relationship with God. Take care of a lot of that. Amen. All right, that's as far as I'm going to read. I'm going to speak on this subject, dwelling in a safe place. Amen. Amen. Dwelling in a safe place. Let's talk to the Lord right now. Lord, we ask for you to come right now and anoint for the teaching and preaching of your word. God, you know hearts. You know the need. I ask you to speak to them. I ask you to give me the words to speak that will minister to those that need it so desperately tonight. God, encourage those who are discouraged. Help those that are struggling tonight. Deal with those, God, that need to repent, need to get their lives in order. Give us a great move of your spirit in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, and everybody say praise the Lord. Please be seated. I think you could readily see from just a short passage of scripture that I just read that God has a safe place where his people are invited to dwell. The house we built 18, 19 years ago has a room in it that's called a safe room. The room is out of metal and heavy gauge, and it's designed to withstand even an F5 tornado. I haven't been through an F5. I don't want to find out if it works or not. When I die of old age, I hope it still hasn't had to be proven or tested. We've had a number of times when we have gone into that safe room, and it gives you a little feeling of security to know that you've got some protection. But God has a place for us to dwell, and it's not some little room off to the side that's dedicated for that sole purpose. But God has a place for us to dwell, amen, where we can have sweet fellowship with him. Amen. And so this is very, very important thing that we're going to talk about tonight. And it's a secret place that's only accessible to those who desire it and begin to seek for it and search it out. And the Bible speaks of this place in another passage of scripture, the book of Job 28:7. And it says, there is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. Let me just consider this with you just for a moment. It's talking about there's a path to a place where you can have communion and fellowship with God. And it's so well hidden in certain respects that even the vulture with their unbelievable eyesight, I mean, how far they can see. They go high in the air and they can actually see for many miles and spot, different things that they would feed off of, rotting carcasses and so forth. And it's so it says no fowl knows it. They've never found it. And even the eye of the vulture cannot see it. Then it talks about the lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by. What's talking about here? They're predatory animals, and they're out hunting and looking and searching and trying to find where they might have game that they can attack and kill and use for their food source. And it says they haven't even been able to find it. I'm going to tell you what, when you find the place I'm talking about tonight, you're going to be living in a safe place. You know why? Because it said it's going to be under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, how could it be under his shadow unless he is there with you? And his shadow is falling upon you. Does that have any appeal to anyone here tonight? Would you like to have a relationship with God to where you could drive down the road and just talk to him as a best friend? Amen. Maybe some of you experience that from time to time, but I'm sure there's room for all of us to improve. So we're living under the shadow of the Almighty. So think about it. You're in a very safe place when God's shadow falls upon you. And so God so much wants us to have that kind of relationship with him that he rewards those who yearn or desire to be, or not just to be in his presence, but to dwell in his presence. You know, we come here and we feel the presence of God, and then we go home and it's a different situation, which ought not to be so. It ought to be when we go home, we take that presence with us. Amen. We can continue at home what we started at church and vice versa. What we start at home, we can continue when we get to church. Amen. I read in Proverbs 18 and 10 that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. I want you to know that God will be your refuge. He will be your fortress. He will be everything you need. You will be safe. And just refuge means shelter from rain, storm, or danger. We've had a lot of that this year. Amen. He will be your fortress, your stronghold, your castle, your fort. I will say of the Lord in verse number 2 of Psalms 91, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Amen. I'm going to tell you, sometimes we don't trust God like we ought to. He's the last one in line before we check in with him. If nobody else is able to help us, heal us, medicate us, or whatever, then we'll finally say, well, maybe the Lord will heal me. It ought not to be that way, people. He is our Lord that healeth us. Amen. That's where we ought to go first. Amen. That's where you're going to find healing. Praise God. And so, we continue on in verse 3. It says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Now, what it's telling us is he's our deliverer. Praise God. Somebody said, well, I don't have anything to be delivered of. I'm not talking about necessarily habits or something along that line, some kind of dependency you have on drugs or alcohol or whatever. That's not what I'm talking about necessarily. But there are traps that the devil sets for each and every one of us. There are situations that arise that's for the purpose of hindering our relationship with God and to discourage us. And even in some cases, some people get so discouraged they even fall out of the church. And this thing that I'm talking about tonight, you can put your trust in God. He's your refuge. Amen. He'll shelter you from the rain, from the storm, the danger that you're going through. Amen. He'll protect you from the attacks of the enemy. And he will be your fortress. He will be your refuge. And also, he's looking out for you for those traps that the devil sets. The fowler is a trapper. He's a hunter. He's a man that goes out and devises different kinds of traps to catch different types of birds. And of course, they become food or something along that line. But he's kind of a comparing this situation here. He's comparing it with how the devil does the very same thing, except he's out setting snares and traps for souls of men and women. Amen. He's your very worst enemy. And he's very subtle. And he knows how to set things in your pathway that you'll stumble off into. Except when you got a relationship with Jesus, he's going to guide you around those things. Amen. He's going to take you through the storm. He's going to protect you. He's going to watch over you. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. And then what else did it say? From the noisome pestilence. Thank you. I'm glad you're putting that on the board. I should have thought to tell you that. Appreciate it. Thirdly, I want to cover this little thought for a moment. God will protect you and cover you. Amen. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Now, when you get close enough to him, you can feel and see his feathers. And he'll keep you under his wings. What he's making reference to is how an old hen that sits on the nest and hatches out the eggs and the little chicks are running with her. And if she sees something that she thinks could be danger, she makes a little funny chirping sound and they just come to her like this. Shoop. And they run up under her wings and she covers them with her wings. This is saying that God will take that kind of care of those that put their trust in him. Amen. Under his wings shalt thou trust. My, I'm not afraid. I know he's going to take care of me. I know everything is going to be all right. I know that he's watching out for my welfare. Amen. And he's right here with me. Amen. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You know, the truth is the most important thing there is in the entire world. Anything less than the truth is a detriment to your soul. Amen. It takes away your opportunity and the possibility, the probability that you're going to be saved. Amen. We got to hate anything that's not the truth and love everything that is the truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth. And what? The truth shall do what? How many of you want to be free from everything the world has to offer? Amen. So you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. False doctrine can't set you free. It can trick you into thinking that you're free. Amen. Those that preach that you can live any way you want to live, dress any way you want to dress, go anywhere you want to go, do whatever you want to do. Amen. That may sound good to the flesh, but that's going to get your soul damned in hell. That is contrary to true Bible doctrine. Amen. We've got to live according to the precepts of God. And so that's where truth plays a very important role. Amen. Because when I know the truth, I know how to live right. I know what God expects. And then it's just up to me to obey. And everybody say, praise the Lord. Other things that come along. Verse number 5 talks about, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. You know, we're living in a terrible time right now. As far as the world is concerned. There's so much ungodliness going on. There's so much corruption. There's so much stealing and murdering and all kinds of things that's going on right here in our good city. Amen. I remember when I was in Houston, they were really making a big deal and calling it the murder capital of the world because 50 people have been killed in 1 year. And now Tulsa's way beyond that and not even close to the kind of population that was in Houston, Texas. And so we're living in an hour when it's not safe to be in many places, in daytime, much less at night. But here again, God wants to deliver his people from fear. Fear holds you back. Fear cuts into your faith. When you're afraid, you're not trusting God. You can't be trusting God and be fearful at the same time. You may have to pray your way out of the fear, which you can do. But I'm just trying to tell you that God said, don't be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. So, daytime, nighttime, there's things lurking that seek to damage you, to harm you, to take your life, to destroy you, to lead you astray. And then it goes on, nor don't be afraid for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Amen. I'm telling you, God knows how to deliver us. He knows how to keep us. He knows how to watch over us. And he says, I'm doing a good job. So you just relax. Amen. You let me do the worry. Which he don't have to worry. He has all power in heaven and in earth. But when you put your complete trust in God, it doesn't matter what you're going through. You can find peace in the middle of a storm. Amen. You can find encouragement in the middle of a temptation and a trial that you're going through. Do not be afraid for those things that are out lurking out there. Put your hand in the hand, amen, of Jesus Christ, and let him lead you and guide you, and let him control your life, and let him tell you which way to go, and listen and do it. Another thing, as we move on here, God protects us from certain death. You know, if the devil had his way about it, every one of you that are a child of God, he would have killed you a long time ago. Amen. Because he don't want you to be saved. And if you're going to be saved, he wants to make life just as bad and miserable for you as he can. And then here's a real, this statement here, it's kind of like, almost sounds like too much. Like maybe an overstatement. But in verse number 7, it says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side. And 10,000 at your right hand, and it shall not come nigh thee. This last year and a half plus is teaching us some things, I hope, about trusting in God. Amen. Because God is able to bring us through even in times like this. Praise God. You know, when you get really frightened about things like this, I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned. We ought not to take, you know, proper precautions. I'm all for that. I did it. I encourage you to do it. We did it here at the church. And if we need to, we'll do it again. Amen. I'm not saying be foolish, but I'm trying to tell you, don't get so fearful that God can't help you. Amen. Put your trust in him. Many of you were sick during this pandemic. And here you are tonight. God brought you through it. I said, God brought you through it. And so let's give thanks to the Lord. And let's realize that he can take us through anything. Amen. They're falling all around us. I'm reading where in certain countries of the world that it's just staying at a certain level because only just a 2% of the population, just read today, 2% of the population was vaccinated. And so it's just staying at an even keel, which is very, very high because there's just that nobody's been able to escape that because they won't, they probably don't have access to vaccination. And so they're still dying in many places in the world. Even while I was in Mexico City, the actual Mexico City limits, they just put new restrictions on it because of how many people are getting this variant of COVID-19. Somebody said, Brother Howard, were you scared? I don't remember even thinking about it a whole lot because I put my hand in the hand of the man that stilled the waters. I'm not being foolish, but I, at the same time, you know, there's things that you feel God wants you to do and you have to do it. I'll put it to you this way. I've been pastor now for 50 years. I've been in the ministry 55 years. I have prayed for thousands of people in the hospital and at home that were sick and sick with things that you could, was contagious. And I'm here to tell you that I have not one time picked up so much as a cold from anybody in all those situations. You know why? Because it says, if there be any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. And so when I get called to pray for somebody, I'm going to go. I've been places where I had to be all dressed out, but a few years back, they didn't do that. And you went into these places, you prayed for people. They didn't have anything to squirt on your hands or nothing else. You stood around and talked to people and shook somebody's hand. You don't know what you gave them or they gave you. We just weren't nearly as aware back in those days of those kinds of things. But I'm telling you, doing the will of God, you can have confidence that God's going to take care of you. Amen. And I know I was in the will of God to go on this trip. It was confirmed in so many ways. And good things are happening. Praise God. Amen. And so he said, 1,000 falls at your side, 10 at the right hand, it shall not come nigh thee. My, my, my. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 8, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. The reward of the wicked. I'm going to tell you what, there's a reward for doing what's right. And I guess really reward kind of seems like a misuse of the word, but there is a reward, a very bad reward, that is given to the wicked. This is what they earned, this is what they worked for, and this is what they receive. Now I'm going to pause right here because this psalm makes a real good turn right here. I really like where it turns to. Verse number 9 says, because thou hast made the Lord... He's talking about relationship, relationship, relationship. Then he says here, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. I'm telling you something, people, it's worth the effort, amen, to get into that secret place with the Lord. It's worth the effort to have the kind of relationship that you and God can communicate like good friends going up and down the road or in your bedroom or on the job, as I mentioned a little earlier tonight. I know I said it once. I'm repeating it on purpose. Amen. Because I want it to stick in your mind. Amen. He said the reason why, because you made the Lord your refuge, the Most High, thy habitation. Praise God. And no evil shall befall thee. He's going to watch after us. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. He doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, I'm going to give a charge to some angels, amen, to camp round about you. Somebody said, I've got a guardian angel. How would you like to have a whole bunch of them? And camping around you means they're with you all the time. They're not leaving. They're not going anywhere because God told them, amen, to watch out for you and to help take care of you. How many of you have ever felt the presence of an angel? How many of you have ever seen an angel? I'm not talking about in human form, somebody that was very good and kind and to you was an angel. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about literally see an angel. Amen. There are legions of angels. Amen. There's angels in this service tonight. There's some of you that had the very thing happening in your life that I'm preaching about tonight. And that is God has already put some angels to encamp round about you to watch over you. Amen. So that there'll be no plague come to your dwelling. Brother Howard, this is too far out there for me. Not if you take it one day at a time, one step at a time, one prayer at a time, one prayer meeting at a time. Amen. We need to get beyond just praying enough. Amen. To ask God to forgive us for not praying more. Boy, you're gaining ground when you're praying in your prayer time for God to forgive you because you haven't been making much room for prayer time. We want to get to the place we don't have to waste God's time talking about trivial matters. We need to get to the place that we could be praying in the Spirit for others. We spend too much time praying for ourselves. I want this, I need that, and can you intercede here, and yada, 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 yada. Amen. When we get through, God's just probably about half sick of listening to all of our pitiful begging and pleading and so self-centered in our prayers. I'm talking about getting in a place Where 30 minutes, 45 minutes, or an hour, you're not asking God for anything. You're just enjoying being in His presence, and you're telling Him how wonderful, how great He is, how much you love Him, how much you appreciate having the Holy Ghost and His presence being with you. Is there anything wrong with what I'm talking about tonight? Amen. Am I stirring up a hunger in your heart? Amen. That I've got to reach for more. I don't expect you to get there in 1 week, 1 month, or maybe not. I don't even know for sure that we get all the way to where we need to be when we're trying for years. Hey, all right, what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter how high in God you get, there's always a higher place. So you never reach the place where you've gone as far as you can go. Amen. But there's certainly room in our lives for us to go a little higher. Praise God. Verse 11. I've just been telling you about it now. I'll read it to you. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. He has a name for every angel. I'm certain of that. We have the names of just a few. But can you imagine? He says, angel, I'm not going to try to make up any angel names. I don't want to do anything that would be disrespectful or foolish. But he could say angel number 1, number 7, number 10, number whatever number. I'm assigning you to encamp round about, Brother Perry. I don't want you to let the devil to harm him. I don't want you to let the devil discourage him. Amen. I want you to watch over him. If he stumbles and he starts to fall, I want you to bear him up with your arms lest he dashes foot against a stone. My. Do you remember Jesus used that verse of scripture on the devil? Amen. When he told him in one of the temptations, you know, the angels, it's written. He's going to give his angels charge over you and keep you lest you dash your foot against a stone. Aren't you thankful for the keeping power of God? Aren't you glad that God's watching out for you? Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Verse number 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. Where did I get this? Let me back up a little bit. Oh, I forgot to tell you. These verses we're dealing with now in the latter part of this chapter is all about the reward, the good things that God's going to do. And he said, they're going to bear thee up. You're going to tread upon the lion and the adder. The lion is a very poisonous snake. The young lion and the dragon oftentimes speaks of a crocodile or something along that line. And thou shalt trample under feet. That's what it said, under your feet. I've got a big old lion in my office. It's 11 feet long, weighed almost 900 pounds. And to me, he's a beautiful creature. And I'm not sure that he feels that way about me. But if you haven't seen it, you better hurry up and see it because I've given it away. And it's going to be going back to Florida from whence it came. And I'm giving it back. I'm giving it to Brother Sewell. He lives in Florida. He's my hunting buddy. He's the man that had the boat. He's the man that knew all about hunting. I was just along to observe and do what I could to help. But anyway, I've had that animal in my office for a long, long time. And I need to get him out of there because I got some others I want to put in there. Garrett. Brennan. Boston. Blake, now, there ain't enough room for these big boys. I think they're about 9 foot long and 700 pounds or something along that line. They're big boys, I know that. Anyway, he said you can tread on those. Now, tread means just crunch them. Right. Amen. You don't have to worry about them. You ever killed any kind of a critter by stomping on him? You ever killed a snake that way? You ever killed a poisonous one that way? Well, I'll tell you what. When you're where he's going to get you, or you're going to get him, and you don't have time to get away from him, it might be good to stomp his head. I've done that a couple of times. Seemed to work out pretty good. Amen. But what he's saying is, remember, come over the New Testament. take up serpents, they won't harm you. What he's telling us here, you can have this for you if you have relationship with God. Amen. Then we're talking about these things. Those that set their love upon God are blessed by him. As he says in verse number 14, because he hath set his love upon me. This is God speaking about you or you or you. Hopefully me, perhaps. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Praise God. You can get in a place that whenever you're in trouble, God says, it's done. Even before they get in trouble. When he gets in trouble, when things happen, I will deliver him. Why? Because he had set his love upon me. Don't pass that up. It's all contingent upon us falling in love with Jesus. As the song said, that's a what is it? The best thing that I've ever done. Falling in love with Jesus. That's what we need tonight, is to fall in love with Jesus. You know, when it comes to love relationships, ever so often that needs to be renewed. You know what I'm talking about? We get to where you're kind of taking each other for granted and not paying the appropriate attention and care and expressing your appreciation for things that the other does for you, that you need to just take a few days off and spend some time together and get back where you were in the beginning. Amen. I really believe in that, because all of us get too busy sometimes, get too many cares going, and we kind of get closed up and focused on ourselves instead of those that are close to us. But he said, because he has set his love upon me. I'll tell you what, when you get to that point, you have won the heart of God. He said, therefore will I deliver him. I'm going to exalt him and set him on high. Because, why? He hath known my name. First name basis. Best friend. My phone rings occasionally. And when it does, it'll show me names, numbers. Sometimes I know who it is, sometimes I don't. But I'll admit to you, there's some folks that when their number comes up, not any of you, well, maybe one or two. Forgive me, Jesus. I'll put it this way. Sometimes I'm busy and sometimes I'm busier. But I'm going to tell you what. When you pick up that heavenly phone, God, I'm in the middle of something here. He said, don't worry about it. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to exalt you because you know me by my first name. Praise God. Hallelujah. When he calls upon me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him. He shall call upon me. And what did I just tell you would happen? What's going to happen when you call upon him? He said, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I will satisfy him with long life. Yes. Do you want to live a long time? Yes, with health? Yes. Amen. He said, I'm going to satisfy him with long life and show him my salvation. Would you stand with me tonight? Somebody come to help us here. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Oh, God, I magnify you. I exalt you. Remember, it's a secret place. What does it mean when it says it's a secret place? It means you're going to have to seek it out. It means that he's not going to send an angel to you to take you by the hand and say, Jesus wants you to be in a safe place with him. And he, here, I'm going to walk you down there and show you where it's at. No, it's something that you and God do between the two of you. Praise God. I'm almost certain that if he heard some of us just start telling him how much you love him and you're not complaining and talking about problems and situations, not that they don't need to be prayed about. That's not what I'm talking about, an attitude. I'm talking about the way that we approach him. I'm talking about priorities. Amen. If you can get in the presence of God with praise and thanksgiving, sometimes you don't even have to tell him about those things. He just takes care of it. Praise God. Amen. I just wonder what a difference it would make if we would spend more time trying to find and dwell in that secret place of the Most High. Obviously, it involves more than praying over your food before you eat and asking for prayer when you're sick or feeling bad. This is about relationship. We used to sing a lot of songs that included that in it. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine, oh what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. I remember an old song, I'll be a friend to Jesus. My life on earth, I'll spend. I don't remember right off the top without thinking a little bit all the words to that song. But so many we used to sing about, how about, and he walks with me and talks with me. And tells me I am his own. What a joy we share. You know, we just don't talk about that much anymore, do we? We've gotten away from songs of consecration and songs of adoration and songs extolling our relationship with him. Anybody like to have that kind of relationship with Jesus? Is there any saints in this church that says, I want to move up? I want to move up. Amen. I want this. I want what you're talking about. Come on, can we focus on that for a little while? I don't know that I'll preach on it again. This is what God gave me, and I felt it was for tonight. So I've given it to you. But what are you going to do with it? And this is a message, Brother Paul, that somebody can't just obey tonight. Because this, you know what I'm talking about. It spreads out over time, over time, over time, over time. We can start tonight. We can make up our mind tonight. We can make some promises to God tonight and let him know we want to move up, move up, move up. Some of you haven't moved up in years. Come on, it's time to wake up. It's time to get with the program. Hallelujah. Let's talk to the Lord right now. Jesus, in your name, in your name. I worship you, my King, my Savior. Oh, blessed be your name, oh God. Blessed be your holy name, Jesus. Glory be to thy name. Glory be to thy name. Come on, somebody worship the Lord with me. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, help us tonight, God. Talk to us tonight, God. Lead and guide us tonight, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, stir up a hunger and a desire to walk with you, to be close to you, to be what you want us to be the mom that I need to be, the dad I need to be, the son, the daughter that I need to be, the preacher I need to be, the saint I need to be, God. Oh, yes, God, I want to be what you want me to be, Lord. I want to do thy will. I want to do thy will. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'm going to give you an opportunity if you'd like to come around the front and let's just... There's not really room to kneel. If all of you respond that needs to respond, there won't be much room except for standing. But I'm opening these altars right now for those of you that would like to begin right now, putting in action what I've been preaching about tonight. The closer you get to God, the further you are from the devil. Hallelujah. The closer you get to him, the more influence he has in your life and the less influence that Satan has. Come on, there's plenty of room right in here. There's room for 10 or 12 people right in here. And some of you, maybe younger folks or whomever, could come on down in here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God, I want to serve you. I want to be what you want me to be. I want to be a witness. I want to be a blessing to others. Hallelujah. Use me for thy glory, oh God. I praise your name. I exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to thy name. Glory be to thy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, this will bring revival. This will bring healing. This will build our faith. Oh, use me, Jesus. Help me, God. Oh, hallelujah. We may need to repent over a few things. Sometimes we need to repent over what we haven't done. Oh, use me, God. Use me, God. Use me, God. I want to be what you want me to be, God. I want to be what you want me to be, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, he hears your voice. He even hears your heart. Oh, God. I want you, Jesus. I want you more than anything in this world, oh Lord. In your precious name, in your precious name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to thy name, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. My God, my God, my God, my God. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I bless your name, O Lord. I bless your name, O Lord. I exalt you. I worship you, God. Hallelujah. Why don't we take 2 or 3 minutes here, and during this time, all I want us to do is just tell the Lord how much we love him, how much we appreciate him, how thankful we are for the Holy Ghost, how thankful we are that he's our Savior. Oh, God, I praise you, I exalt you, I magnify you, Jesus. Thank you for life and breath. Thank you for an opportunity to be saved. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for every time you've healed me, God. For every time you've protected me, every time you've delivered me, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I love you more than anything in this world. I adore you. I worship you. I exalt your name, oh God. Hallelujah. Your name is higher than any other. Glory be to thy name. Glory be to thy name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Because you can. If you weren't there, Jesus, I love you because you care. beginning and